Blog Talk Radio.
Mercy, we come to your table. By
Graças te damos, Senhor, por mais um dia podermos estar aqui, ó Pai. Que as nossas vidas possam te entoar, Senhor, com constantes louvores, ó Deus. Como é bom, Senhor, sabermos que Tu nos ama, ó Pai, e que podemos ter livre acesso diretamente a Ti, Senhor. Que tudo aquilo que nós viemos fazer, Senhor, seja somente para a Tua honra e para a Tua glória, ó Pai. Que todos aqueles que nos ouvem, Senhor, agora, neste momento, e aqueles que ainda vão nos ouvir posteriormente, possam ser abençoados por Ti, Senhor. É isso que nós já te pedimos e te agradecemos. Em nome de Jesus. Amém. Saudamos já a todos os nossos amados ouvintes com a graça e a paz do Senhor Jesus Cristo, dando a todos as boas-vindas, tenham todos uma boa tarde. Bom, como vocês já devem ter notado, hoje nós vamos ter um programa especial. Vamos ter a participação do irmão Will e vamos tratar de um tema muito, muito bom, que é voltado para o louvor. Que você possa desfrutar desse tempo, possa, através da sua própria vida, adorar a Deus. Porque, através dos louvores, nós podemos agradar o coração do Pai. Então, que nesse programa de hoje, que vai ser um programa especial, que você possa se derramar, de fato, na presença do Senhor. Fiquem todos com a paz e até breve.
majestade, honra e poder. Qual glorioso é o teu santo nome. Te exaltamos enquanto nos prostramos, pois não existe outro tão glorioso como tu. Muitas vezes falhamos em contemplar o teu poder e a tua glória, enquanto reinas em teu trono celestial, na presença dos serafins, querubins e dos santos que já estão junto de ti. Toda a criação, por toda a eternidade, canta os teus louvores. Quem somos nós para que nos ame tanto assim? Quantas vezes falhamos em dar-te reverência e honra? Temos perdido o temor do Senhor, ou trocado por breve abraço, ou por beijinho em tua presença. Ensina-nos o temor do teu nome. Ajuda-nos a andar em tua santidade, para que nos acheguemos a ti, para que te adoremos e juntamente com as hostes celestiais cantemos da tua misericórdia, tua bondade e do teu amor sem fim. Toda honra e glória pertencem a ti. Só tu és digno, ó Deus, todo poderoso, criador dos confins da terra.
Whoa! as águas, minha alma anseia por ti, minha alma anseia por ti, como a corça suspira pelas águas, como a corça suspira, minha alma anseia por ti, minha alma anseia por ti, como a corça suspira pelas águas. Minha alma anseia por ti, 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 minha alma anseia por ti. Abro minha boca e suspiro, pois tenho sede de ti. Abro minha boca e suspiro, pois tenho sede de ti.
Give you his peace. shine his light upon us. May the Lord lift us, turn his face towards us, give us his peace, give us his peace. Go now in peace, go now in peace.
that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me. The Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me. Now you're singing over me. The Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me. The Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me. And now you're singing over me. The Father's song.
Trata como filhos amados que nós nada merecemos. Como é bom saber, sentir a fidelidade deste Deus quando nos dispomos a olhar para Ele como Ele é, como Ele é digno. Quando nos centramos nele e não em nós. Quando reconhecemos no nosso coração todos os benefícios deste maravilhoso Deus, Criador, Protetor, Perdoador das nossas vidas. Nós nos sentimos transformar quando contemplamos, quando louvamos o nosso Deus. E esse é o poder do louvor que nós vamos hoje falar aqui. Tenho certeza todos nós já o sentimos. Deus se move no meio dos louvores. O que é que realmente acontece em nós quando conseguimos vencer esta batalha contra nós mesmos, de nos parar de preocupar com o nosso ser, com o nosso viver, e nos lançamos na verdadeira adoração, como crianças, contemplando o Deus que é Pai, o Deus que é Filho, o Deus que é Espírito, que habita em nós. Nos centramos nos seus atos, no seu perfeito amor, naquela cruz tão dolorosa que Ele suportou em nosso favor. E como é tão rápido Deus a responder a esse apelo nosso, filhos amados, necessitados dele para sobreviver neste mundo. É quando nós nos deixamos convencer a nós mesmos, paramos de resistir que somos simples crianças. Sempre o seremos. Simples crianças diante do nosso Criador. Devemos de estar velhos, cabelos brancos, mas quando chegar aquela hora, todos nós voltamos a ser uma criança, necessitados, dependentes, que a mão do nosso Pai venha em nosso socorro. E é isto que é maravilhoso num louvor. Um louvor desinteressado, um louvor dedicado somente àquele que é digno de toda a nossa adoração. A sua imagem nos transforma. O seu ser nos invade por dentro. E algo acontece interiormente. Uma paz que o mundo não consegue explicar, nem se consegue explicar àqueles que andam no mundo. Mas aqueles que são os verdadeiros adoradores não precisam de ser confirmados por mais nada. Essa paz, esse amor derramado sobre o nosso ser, sobre aquilo que nós vamos entender hoje com profundidade, o processo do louvor, o mistério que está envolvido no louvor, nos confirma que não somos bastardos, não estamos mais sós neste mundo. Nos confirma que somos vencedores, que não há nada que a gente não possa suportar com este Deus. Essa é a canção do nosso Pai. É a canção que um dia Deus escreveu quando sentimos o seu perdão, quando sentimos aquele abraço do seu Espírito, nos guardando nas suas poderosas mãos. Eu sei que Deus já se fez presente, mas ainda há mais. Deus tem uma mesa farta hoje para todos aqueles que desejam sempre a atenção do seu Pai. Virei dar as boas-vindas em inglês ao nosso irmão que vai estar connosco, o irmão Will. Quem ainda não conhece o irmão Will, nasceu numa família dedicada aos Illuminati, não teve opção de escolha, viveu de abismo em abismo, até um dia se revoltar contra tudo e decidir não mais servir o diabo, mas servir o Deus vivo. E hoje, mais uma testemunha resgatada pelas mãos poderosas do nosso Pai, do seio do inimigo, para nos vir ajudar a entender as estratégias, o modus operandi do nosso inimigo, o inimigo de Deus, dos seus agentes. E ele, que foi outrora um maçom, que chegou uma posição elevadíssima dentro do satanismo, que participava de ataques contra a Igreja, hoje ele defende, nos ensina a defendermos-nos das estratégias traiçoeiras, das ciladas do inimigo. Nos ensina o poder que o inimigo tem para nos impedir de alcançar a herança espiritual, de entendermos os mistérios, por exemplo, do louvor. O que é que acontece no nosso ser quando adoramos a Deus como uma criança? há um mistério. Vem de dentro para fora. Então eu vou dar as boas-vindas ao nosso irmão e irei transmitir para vós daquilo que for falado em inglês. I welcome you all, my brothers, my sisters. How good it is to be on the presence of our Father. Have song in our heart. Always remembering that day. Once we called him, and he answered our call. He came, forgive us all, protected our lives with a strong arm, and even we can, if we cannot talk to the world what we feel, nobody can deny what we have written inside of our being. It's our inheritance. No one can steal us from us. No one can steal Jesus Christ for you, from you. It's yours. It's not only for some elite. It's not only for the rich, for the intelligent. It's for those who are humble, sincere, like a child. We all know that on a future day, even if we became big on this life, we all will be again as children, waiting for the hand of God to come to take us home. On that day, no money, no fame, no intelligence will we ask for. On that day, the only thing that we will want to have near us is our Father. And how good it is now for us to know this mystery right now. To prepare ourselves for that day. How good it is to feel the presence of our Holy Father. When we, like children, open our mouths just to say, I love you, my daddy. Thank you for being my daddy. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for making me feel. And this is a mystery. This is the power of praise, the power of worshiping through God. The world doesn't know this God. But we do. Because we have become his temple. We can go to church, we can go to a beach, we can go to a stadium to see a sport. But the temple of the living God, it's me. And this is the price that Jesus paid. This is the reward, not for him, that we receive. And Jesus Christ, our Father, in flesh and blood, decide to suffer our punishment. That's why when we center our attention on this living God, our beings are transformed on his image. This is the power of the praise, of the worship, sound dedicated to God. We have with us a specialist about this matter. We have Dr. Will Rogers that will help us to understand happen to our being when we worship God, when we center our attention in God. Before I call Brother Will to take us deeply on this matter, I will put a link on the chat room for those who want to understand this, and you can check this video that I will put now. Talks about power of sound over matter. And it was a mystery when I looked this. My mouth was open and I was amazed. But this is a small demonstration of what happens to us when we worship God. On that video, it's not a human being, but the sound that is produced on that video is not a song too. Song is something greater than just a frequency. And a human being is much more complex than just some small particles. That's what happened when the sound interfered with the matter. It is something similar to this that happens to us when we praise God with an open heart. Brother Willie, are you there?
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. I'm here. It's another opportunity and a blessing to be with you and our listeners today.
Amen, brother. Brother, I know that you have so much things to say about the power of praise, but let us know what it means for you praising our Father. Before you go deep on the matter, what have you feel when the first time you understand that God is real and God forgive you? What was the change you feel inside?
Brother, that's a very, very, very powerful question, because when you come into the presence of the true and the living God, not no lesser deity or none of these feel-good, egocentric, prideful, arrogant, showing. But when you come into a true, authentic relationship that allows you to get into and to get it, and get to know God, because God reveals himself only to those who seek after him. And I was exposed to what I thought was God, but I had lied to myself, because I was led astray by the lust of my own flesh. I was seeking money and fame and fortune, but I lied to myself and told myself and everyone around me that I was seeking God. And so I had a self-deluded ideal of worship and being in the true presence of God. And it wasn't until many, many years later, after I had been in Christendom and been saved and done all of the traditional stuff that they say that you're supposed to do to be a good follower of Jesus Christ or a good Christian, and I did all of that, brother, and I never really experienced true worship. Because when you experience true worship, it removes all of the ego. It removes all of the arrogance. It removes all of the flesh and all of the self. It results in a place of total humility and total eradication of any self-exaltation. The way that I can always tell if someone has a true, authentic relationship with God, or whether they've been lying to themselves and they are deceived by the cosmogrator, by the enemy, because I have personal experience because it happened to me. So I don't have to read a book or wonder. I know for a fact that the only way that you can actually experience it, God, is men more so than women, because men, we got testosterone and we got ego. We have this idea where we want to go out and kill, steal, and destroy that lines up with the Luciferian agenda from our own genetic code to be the providers and the protectors of our home. And so when a man comes into the presence of God, true worship is the result. You can't worship God until you experience the humbleness, the removal of all of yourself that you take pride in. Everything that you believe is important to you is totally removed. And you come to a place where you are like a child, where you are totally helpless and totally dependent on God. All your education, I don't care how many muscles you got, I don't care how many languages or how many degrees, how much money, how many cars, women, all of this stuff means nothing when you come to the presence of God, brother, because then you're able to see and realize that you're without God's grace and mercy, that you're nothing when you compare yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's where that's the beginning. That's where it all starts, brother.
Yes, I agree. I guess so many times we are deceived by the environment that involves us on the social meetings, like the church, and they distract us. Because unfortunately, this is the reality. We start to compare with each other, and the real comparison that we should all do is we and God and Jesus. Nobody wins to Jesus. Nobody tried to beat Jesus. Only the fool tried to beat Jesus. But unfortunately, I think one of the secrets that more bad things do to the body of Christ is when the men start comparing, competing each other on the church, try to be better, to be richer, to be higher than the other one. And this is a strategy, I think, that stop the people from being, for feeling the true essence of God in them. That's what I felt too when in some here that I spent on churches, because even if when I was not looking for nothing, people, and God was using me in evangelism and bringing people to church, those people that were there with positions, they start feeling that I was a menace to them, to their position, and they become aggressive for me, and sometimes they lie about me only because they were afraid that the pastor could change the pyramid, you understand? So I think that the problem is, that's why Jesus said that we should close the door of our room and pray to God and talk to God alone, because many people, when they go to some places to worship God, they can't, because there are distractions there. There are another agenda. There are different agents operating there that change your capacity, that change, I think that's what you are going to talk about, the DNA, the frequency of our DNA. And we cannot be connected to God because we have to worry about the envy of that person or the jealousy of that one. And we are not rest on the presence of God. This is my personal experience. Do you agree?
Amen, brother. It's a totally not only spiritual change, but also a biological change that take place. One of the books that I also have out that talks about this subject is called Neurotheology, and it's basically how scientifically we can prove through this thing called the GMAT gene. Some of people call it the God gene, and it's a part of the human anatomy or the body. Just like there's a frequency of fear that the body can be tuned to over time, there's a frequency of worship or love or God, and the science calls it, they call it the God gene. There's a great book that's out. I forgot the author of that book, but it's called The God Gene, and it goes into the biological of what happens to you. It's the science, or it's neuroscience, and the understanding of how, from a neurological point of view, when you hear something over and over again, your neural pathway or the neurons inside the brain are changed. Also, the sun sends information, not just heat. So when you walk outside into the sun is actually, the rays of the sun hit your skin and it's transformed from into a neuron that the body can use. All of this is a part of the regening or the retuning. So that way, at the last sound, at the last trump, the dead in Christ will arise. This is what true authentic conversion is. And it's not just responding to nothing against an altar call. That could be the first initial response. You could hear something, but it's been scientifically proved that they call it neutrinos, or the neurons, and the neurotransmitters of the brain is structured in a way that the human body is designed to live off God. In other words, we are hardwired inside of our DNA for God. And if we don't have God, there's a hole or a vacuum that's filled with money, women, cars, the devil, or whatever. That's what the scripture says, that we are a slave. You're going to be a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin, because the body is designed to live off of this particular, what they call, we have opiate receptors that's similar to the plant opium. And so many people take an artificial drug because their body is craving the spiritual drug. And we don't understand that the gospel is a good spell. We are we're created by God in such a way that we can be an extension, so God can connect with us. But instead of us connecting neurologically with God, it's like when I plug if I have an electrical device, if I have a toaster, if I have a microwave, if I have a refrigerator, all those things must be plugged into an electrical source. And what's really interesting, and if you look at how solar power works, the sun's energy can be captured by a solar panel and converted into electricity that can power a car, power your house. All of this is directly just from rays that we can't see from the sun. And the same thing, we are powered by God from the frequency, because the word patar, which where we get the in the Greek, which means generator. So the Father is a generator. A generator sends frequencies or sends signals. The problem is there's many generators or little generators that's trying to send their frequency, and many of us are unknowingly tapping into the wrong frequency.
So in a few words, through conversion, through worshiping, it's a retuning, right?
Exactly, brother. It's your DNA has to be tuned into the Father's DNA. And all of this, the science behind it is, another thing that I really get into is how the body produces, this is just basic biology, the body actually produces its own morphine, which is like the word morphine, like the drug. And that's why people can get hooked on certain psychedelic psychotropic drugs that mimic the true natural high that God has designed us to live on. And so we know mm-hmm. that the life of the flesh is in the blood, so the life of the spirit is in the word. And so we can flee, mm-hmm. we can feed our flesh, or we can feed our spirit. And so we yes. got to get into the word, because the word, again, is going to establish our worship that's going to lead to our work that results in our world. And so all of this, that's why the whole, everybody gets into the, what is it? I forgot the exact term, but they call it the mushroom, the magic mushrooms. And you can take mushrooms. You can take all of these psychotropic drugs. And what they do is they produce a feeling. They stimulate the body, but it's not the stimulation that we should be seeking. It's a artificial. The enemy has created a artificial way to actually create and basically stimulate our neurotransmitters inside of the body. And so we can either have outside stimulation or inside revelation. And so it's okay. You know, both of them, the body, they feel the same, but they're different. And so if you're yes. looking for outside stimulation, basically with your eyes, your tongue, your ears, all of this stuff, all that stimulation comes from the outside. The kingdom of God is within. And so this inside yes. revelation, going into the Bible, scripture tells us, go into your closet in private and pray, and your Heavenly Father will reward you in open. So we can create our own relationship with God, but the enemy wants us to depend on opium or endorphins, which is the outside opiate, what they call it, a peptide. And this functions as what science calls a neurotransmitter. It basically allows the neurons to travel down a highway, a road, and it produces a certain chemical inside of the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus. This is what they call the kundalini. It activates the kundalini through excitement. And what's really mm-hmm. interesting is exercise, certain foods can produce this artificial stimulation that's similar to actually having a true, authentic relationship with God. And that's why it is so important that we don't settle for outside stimulation, because all of this is, again, demonic, versus going to the Father and waiting on the Father, getting into the presence of the Father to establish a true experience instead of dealing with and depending on an outside revelation and psychotropic plants and drugs and all this other stuff to make us feel like we are alive, because the only way that we're going to feel alive is by having a true relationship with God.
I used to say that when we are born again and we accept Jesus and we start a new life in obedience, the worship, the praise of the newborn, it's the umbilical cord of that new creation. As a body passes 9 months on the belly of the mother, being fed by that umbilical physical cord, our spiritual being connected to God by the worshiping, the love of God. And when we use that umbilical cord that is our praise, we receive all the vitamins, all the proteins, all the energy of our spiritual being that we need to grow, to be well, to stay well here on this world. So that's why when we praise God and we can praise Him until we die physically, we receive all the blessings, the spiritual blessings. Sometimes we are afflicted, we are in danger, we are afraid of something. And when we praise, something magical, almost magical happens. All that fear is gone. Only a peace just surrounds us. We start to feeling calm, because it's God that is being reconnecting. His image is its essence to us by the umbilical cord, that is the praise, that is the worship. So it's something more profound than physical, because sometimes when we start praising, when we start worshiping God, we have the same problems that after we end praise and the worshiping session. And the situation is the same, but inside of us, it's total difference. So something, it's like as if we have been transported to another place, that thing doesn't change us, doesn't change our mind, doesn't change our heart, doesn't bother anymore. So this is the power of God. This is the spiritual power of worshiping. That's when people say that when they fly on the astral body, they have something like a silver cord that unites that spirit to his body, and they cannot be separated, or they will never return to his body. So that's what I think, that is the power of praise. We are fed directly from the presence of God, by the essence of God. And that is a spiritual cord, not a physical one. It's for the spiritual being. I'm going to update this in Portuguese, brother, then before we go even deeper where you want to take us, we will have a song just to relax, and then I give you the rest of the show, okay?
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen. Então, o irmão Willy teve-nos a contar que viveu muito tempo numa falsa adoração, mesmo depois de ter aceitado Jesus. Foi aquela conversão que era de Jesus, mas vivia para ele, tinha que viver para ele, tinha que se preocupar com a vida dele, tinha tanta preocupação que, na verdade, todas essas preocupações, mesmo servindo em igrejas, sobrecarregaram de tal maneira que fez tudo ao contrário, né? Acabava por dar conselhos aos outros quando a vida dele estava cada vez mais sucumbindo. O casamento caiu, não conseguia vencer o pecado. Estava lá com a forma de adorador, mas sem a verdadeira adoração dentro dele. Porquê? Porque, apesar de se ter convertido, ele não tinha mudado interiormente. Ele tinha convertido com a boca, mas o coração era o mesmo. Ele vivia centrado nele, no ego dele, nas preocupações dele, na família dele, não somente na família, mas sobretudo na carreira dele, no dinheiro que tinha que ganhar, e tudo isso sobrecarregava o ser espiritual. Ele tinha-se convertido, mas era como a ver o que é que dava, não é? Era uma conversão em função dos sonhos dele, não daquilo que seria o plano de Deus para a vida dele. Foi só quando bateu no fundo é que entendeu que nunca tinha experimentado o que é a verdadeira adoração. Foi quando se viu lá no chão, isolado, sozinho, perdeu tudo, é que este irmão entendeu que nunca realmente tinha experimentado o que é a verdadeira adoração, o que é a verdadeira presença de um Pai Celeste. Foi quando Deus fez a operação no coração dele, que retirou o que era velho, colocou um novo ser, um novo espírito, ligado a Deus por um cordão umbilical que não é físico, mas é espiritual. E esse cordão umbilical dessa nova criatura, ele é o louvor, é o entendimento da gratidão do nosso ser, de um ser perdoado, que sente a necessidade de estar em constante dependência com Deus e em agradecimento, como uma criança pretende estar sempre perto do pai ou da mãe, só porque gosta deles, nem está pensando que é a mãe que lhe dá a comida, que é o pai que lhe dá a comida, mas é por amor. E foi assim que ela encontrou a verdadeira adoração. Então, o que acontece no nosso ser é que nós somos... Você nasce com as antenas, digamos assim. Imagine que você é um rádio. Você nasce com umas determinadas estações lá, você mexe no botãozinho e aquilo só... Você só está virado para aqueles lugares que estão a transmitir aquelas ondas negativas. Você capta aquilo tudo e não capta nada positivo. O que Deus faz no seu sintonizador é estender aquela área de frequências para você começar a ouvir as boas frequências, para começar a ouvir o que é bom. E o seu espírito começa a ter capacidade para captar aquilo que é bom. Basta você fugir das más frequências, recusar-se a ouvir as más frequências e passar a ouvir as boas. E tudo isso vai fazer acelerar a sua transformação interior. Sendo alimentado pelo aquilo que é de Deus, você vai retribuir, vai sentir necessidade de retribuir a Deus esse amor, esse reconhecimento do grande amor de Deus pela sua vida, que lhe traz uma paz aqui já para além da morte. Você já não receia mais a morte. Isso não há homem nenhum que consiga fazer entre si. É o poder de Deus. Você, quando se liga a Deus através de um verdadeiro louvor, de uma verdadeira gratidão, como uma criança com o seu pai, o louvor passa a ser o veículo, o seu cordão umbilical espiritual. O seu ser está crescendo, sendo protegido e alimentado através do louvor. E o seu DNA está sendo moldado. DNA não é nada mais do que energia. Você passa a estar capacitado para receber outro tipo de energia que antes não tinha. Não tinha dentro de si. Foi a morte de Jesus Cristo que lhe proporcionou isso. E o que o irmão ainda me vai explicar hoje, ainda mais em particular, para nós entendermos o que é que se passa fisicamente conosco, o irmão vai nos explicar quais são as transformações fisiológicas. Porque eu deixei um vídeo aí, um link, está aí no chat room, se quiserem. Vejam no YouTube o poder que uma frequência tem sobre umas partículas de esferovite. Como são formadas formas através de uma simples frequência e da emissão de uma simples nota. E consoante a nota que é emitida, várias formas são formadas por aquela esferovite. Agora imagine um conjunto de frequências, que é música, não é? Que é uma canção. Imagina a complexidade que tem o ser humano, a quantidade de partículas que existem em nós. Então veja a capacidade, a multiplicidade de opções que podem acontecer no nosso ser, na nossa matéria, consoante aquilo que nós nos dispomos a ouvir. Mas vamos ainda ouvir mais um louvor antes do irmão aprofundar esta questão. Estamos realmente com tempo para isso, porque é importante frisar isto. Não somos nós que merecemos. Não é a nossa capacidade, a nossa inteligência que nos vai fazer chegar àquele dia em paz e aguardando pacificamente que Deus nos venha buscar para o seu reino. Não é as nossas obras, não é a nossa inteligência. Por muito que a gente seja aqui naquela hora, no dia da nossa partida, a única coisa que nós vamos querer ter ao nosso lado é a mão do nosso Pai. O dinheiro não vai servir para nada. A inteligência não nos serve para nada. A fama nem a beleza, muito menos. A única coisa que a gente vai desejar naquela hora é a mão do Pai. Então é a graça. É pela graça, não é de graça. O reino, a salvação não é de graça. Você acha que foi de graça para Cristo? Você acha que para se achar Cristo e viver com Cristo aqui, muitas vezes temos que largar as coisas que a gente mais ama, temos que lutar contra essas? Temos que as pôr em segundo plano? Não é fácil, não é de graça. Mas é pela graça. É pela graça. E é o que este louvor fala. A graça. Sem a graça, nós não alcançávamos. É o favor imerecido de Deus. Possa parar-se ainda para ouvir o resto. Que Deus abençoe.
Close and held me near. the King of Love. He gave me wings so I could fly. Gave me a soul to color the sky. And all I have is all from you. And all I want is all of you. It's grace, grace. I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on me. And there've been days when I've walked away. Much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. You traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not. Driving rain, your oil of gladness in the times of pain. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on me. Oh yeah, shines on me, shines on me. I'm
que nos falta a graça do Pai, como dizia o apóstolo, que a tua graça me basta. Quando eu estou fraco, então sou forte. E no reino dos humanos não há nada mais frágil do que uma criança. Então é quando somos crianças que somos fortes. Quando somos crianças que estamos dispostos a aprender. Quando a gente já sabe, ou pensa que sabe tudo, estamos a correr graves riscos de perdermos o rumo. A graça de Deus. As Paul wrote, when we are weak, that we are strong. And in the human conception, there is nothing more fragile than a child. So when we are like a child, that we are stronger, that we are capable to being reconnect with the powerful God we have It's when we feel that we need to learn more. And we are open to hear His voice, hear His advice. Not as I want, but as You want. None of us has already cried blood tears like Jesus. At least I didn't. When Jesus cried blood tears, He said, "If it's possible, take this cup of Me, but do Your will, not mine." Father, really, are You there?
Amen, brother. Amen, I am here.
Please go on. Take us on that mystery about praising God.
Amen, brother. As I alluded to earlier, I just posted a word in the chat room about the definition of the word worship. Or worship is the worth or the value of the ship or the vessel. And so worship establishes value within the vessel. What the enemy has done and is doing is very, very important, brother. I'm about to share something that I haven't really shared in I don't think in public with anyone. Like I said, I don't share information, brother, until I know for sure 100%, because I know I must account for, I must stand before God and give an account for every word that I say. So I take my position with humility and with respect, because I understand the magnitude of what God has and is doing, and the level of deception that the enemy is capable of. And there is a good brother that I followed for many years and believed and recommended that I've since learned that, again, I'll say the name for the listeners, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. And most people are familiar with his study on the frequency of love, the 528 hertz. And I've been doing a lot of study over the years on this and talking about worship, because music is one of the most profound things that is used to usher in the spirit of worship. As we may or may not know, that Lucifer is music. He didn't create music. He is music. Now, you can debate this, but in the Bible it talks about him when he moved. He was a musical being that was harps and instruments built into his spiritual body. There's a lot of text that talks about this. The words Saturn, Satan, the frequencies, sound, waves, vibration, all mass matter is a dumbing down, a lowering down of something from a higher state. And so what Lucifer did when he departed, he was a part of, and then he separated. He started to promote. Everything begins there. When you seek to promote your own self above the Father, when you try to establish your individuality, which is what we are all taught, we're all taught to establish our individuality, to be an individual. We're all taught that, you know, that we can be our own gods or our own little D's or G's or whatever. But in the occult community, in the movie, I don't know if you remember this movie, came out years ago with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, called Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know. Are you familiar with that movie?
Yes, from Stanley Kubrick.
Yes, sir. And do you know that Stanley Kubrick is no longer with us?
Yes, because of that movie.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Right after that movie. The reason, one of the reasons, after my research and study, is what Stanley Kubrick knew and know, which is the same thing that Dr. Leonard Horowitz knew and know, and what the name Horowitz means in the Satanistic or the occult community. And again, brother, this is some very dangerous information, but because it's so important to worship, what the enemy has done and is doing is in the movie, Tom Cruise's character meets a guy who was a musician. His friend tells him that Tom Cruise, his character, I don't remember the guy's name, but basically the music says that he tells him, hey, I'm going to play a song, a special song that I'm getting paid for. He kept emphasizing the fact that I'm going to play this song, this harmonic chord. Music, most churches, songs are played with keys or chords, C-H-O-R-D-S, like an extension cord for an electrical current or frequency, wave or vibration. All music is based on harmonic chords. Harmonic. Change one letter, you have demonic. Now, chords. During the movie, the character plays this song over and over again while he is blindfolded, which represents human beings or Samael, the God of the blind. The word Samael, which is, again, I have a book entitled The Blind God, Blind Leading the Blind. So in this movie, the entire movie is based on the fact that he's playing this song, and this song, he's blindfolded, and it's a special gig, and he's getting paid for it. So the devil pays you if you're willing to play along and go with his system and stay blindfolded and not reveal his secrets. Once you decide to do that, then your life is cut short. So that chord, that harmonic chord that he was playing was 528 hertz, which is the frequency that's being promoted as the frequency of love. And so human sacrifice, all of the Edomite Jews, all of the ancient Babylonian cultures, all of this satanic sacraments, it means the consumption of the sacrificed victim's blood. And so during my study of blood alchemy and blood research, I stumbled across the definitions and the reading, and going back and reading some of my old stuff with Antoine LaVey, Aleister Crowley, some of these other individuals that I studied under, and I started to connect the dots. And I saw that this music was based on chords, this harmonious arrangement that leads us down a avenue of worship, because all of the music that we listen to today is based on this chord, harmonious or playing chords or playing keys. All of this stuff, brother, is Luciferian. All of this stuff is designed to deceive us. Now, music, in my humble opinion, is good and bad. The reason I say that, brother, is because most music is based upon the Kabbalah, or what they call the cube, in the Enochian language, and it's called Enochian magic. When I studied the Kabbalah, I was taught Enochian magic. I was watching a video that my son has, and I forgot, I think it was Mortal Kombat or one of these combat videos. At the end of the video, when you defeat the video and you get to the highest level of the video, a witch shows up and she speaks Enochian. And this Enochian language is a kind of like a lost language. This worships what they call the Black Cube. If you know all of the movies of the Transformers, even in Israel today, in Mecca, they walk around and they have a cube, a black cube.
Right.
This is all part of this Enochian language that's based on runes, which is a part of the sorcery that leads all back. And the whole purpose of it, to cut everything short, because, again, we can get really deep, it's designed to defile Christianity. And it's designed to put the Edomite Jews in the place of the original Jews. Everything, this is based on the protocols of quantum physics. That's what led me into science. Because when you read all of science, it all breaks down to the daughters of Cain. And it gets into what is the Kabbalah, or the Black Cube, which is the worship of and the promotion of Satan and the children of Satan. All of this, my brother, is a part of what Stanley Kubrick knew when he put all of this inside of that movie, Eyes Wide Shut. If you watch that movie explains everything that I'm telling you, which is music is used to keep your eyes wide shut. Now, your eyes, you're open, but your DNA is being regened. And then that brings in the next movie that I talk about all the time, which is the greatest movie I've ever seen. And it's very hard to find. And I watched that movie, that CBS series entitled Threshold. Brother, if you can watch that movie will change your life, because inside of that movie, it shows an alien ship coming up out of the water. Most people think that it's coming from the clouds. It's not coming from the clouds. It's coming from deep down inside of the earth. That's what the word pyramid. Pyramid means pyra, which means pyro. Mid means middle. So it's the fire in the middle of the earth that we call lava, molten lava. Everybody knows that the earth, the center of the earth is magma, or liquid fire. That's where, when Lucifer descended, according to the book of John the Evangelist, Brother Zen Garcia talks about this a lot. He wanted to get down to his throne. What throne? See, Lucifer had a throne. He understood that he was trying to get back to his throne. God did not allow him to descend all the way down to his throne. All of this is a part of what music frequency, wave, vibration, the black cube does. So when we're talking about worship, brother, we must understand the first and the most important thing is what the devil did to me is he probably has done to most of God's people, which is that try to worship God without music. That's most people I find is they have, I don't know about you, brother, but I know for me, I couldn't. I had to have music to establish the presence of God. 99.9% of the churches that you go to, they have music. And you must understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that music in itself is bad. It's just like words. But what the devil has done is the devil has, he's trying to hijack God's system. And he's done a pretty good job of it, because most of us settle. We settle and we are okay. We are happy with eating the crumbs off the table instead of sitting at the table and eating the steak on the table. And so what we have to remember, brother, is that worship is about a true connection that is the result of having a relationship that's based on an understanding from the Word of God. The living Word of God, the breathing Word of God. Now, reading it out of the book is great, but that book should take you to the living Word, which is Jesus Christ or Yahushua. No, it doesn't require any music for that. Now, the music is designed to help move us into a deeper relationship with God. And so what the enemy has done and is doing is he's using music to take us away from God, instead of taking us to God, because he's playing with chords, with frequencies, with waves, and with vibration. That I don't know about you, but I'm not a trained musician. And so I have to depend on other musicians. And that's dangerous because that person could be telling you the truth, or they could be unknowingly telling you a lie. And so the story behind the story is the story of the frequency of the planet of Saturn, or what they call the black cube, which is the synagogue of Satan. His job is to make sure that whether you use words, whether you use language, whether you use food, whether you use medicine, whether you breathe the air or drink the water, your DNA is being affected. When you worship God, you must make sure that you worship in God with a pure heart, with no agenda, with a humble spirit. Meek and lowly, we can do a lot of stuff, brother. We can talk about a lot of things when it comes to worship. But at the end of the day, at the bottom, when everything's said and done, if you don't have humility, if you don't come to God with a aletheia, like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if God will send you a strong delusion, he's going to allow the delusion, 528 hertz, whatever frequency that you want to tune into, whatever water, food, whatever the enemy got, all bases covered. That's why he deceived the whole world. So it's only, unless you come as a little child, unless you come with humility, humbleness, saying, Abba, Father, with your hands lifted up, saying, Father, if you don't rescue me, I can't be rescued. Brother, we are at a point, we are in a situation right now where we have been so deceived, the enemy has covered every base, just like the scripture says, that if God does not cut the time short, even the very elect will be deceived. That's what true worship is. True worship is an understanding that comes from a true understanding that I need help. Most men, especially because of our ego, our pride, we don't want to be helpful. We don't want to say, we don't want to come to the Father like Paul and say, hey, take, you know, in my weakness, you are made strong. I don't mind being weak, brother. I don't mind being in a position of not knowing. You know, I went by the name Master Teacher 33 for years until I understood that a master teacher is a master student. Because there is, I don't care how much you learn, you're still just scratching the surface. That's why we need help. That's why we have to go to the Father, fall on our knees, and cry, Abba, Father. Because if God does not interject into this mass and into this matter, there's none righteous, no, not one. We all will be deceived without God's interjection through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's worship, brother.
Right. While you were talking about music, I was receiving some kind of information myself. I think came from the throne of God, because it was like a mental image trying to explain what you were talking. So it was like if a music, a song, it's like a highway. On the highway, you have the starting point and the destiny, the ending point, right? So when you start a journey, you have something in mind. You are in a place that you want to go to a second place. You want there is a desire in you. So when we sing, we can sing with various destinations. Depends what is the intention that you are singing. It depends the form that you are singing. It depends why you are singing. You have multiple destinations. If you sing something that you say that is to God, but you are simply promoting yourself, you are not praising God, you are not bringing God to that assembly, you are bringing yourself, you are taking the other people to yourself, you are deceiving the other people. When you sing songs that are from this world, you are taking people to this world, you are promoting the world. So to praise God, to real worship God, we have to start this journey with the intention to find God. So we must negate ourselves and look for God, for the will, for the presence of God. So we have to use the right path to go to that place that where we can find God. And in that process, we must be careful, because all highways, they have secondary roads. And if you are not fully aware what we are doing, you can mistake and enter on a second road that will lead you probably not for the place where God is, but where something else is. Or maybe an end road. A road with an end that there is nothing there. And you become empty. I think the problem of the Christianity is that the men, look for God not for the right motivation. The people are looking for God on these days and are being taught to look for God for the wrong propositions. I never forget one something that I read on my first years of a young Christian from a master teacher, even if in his last days he got involved with the wrong persons, but he was one of the biggest teachers for me. I never more forget something that I read on a book from Kenneth Hagin. I don't know if you connect, if you know Kenneth Hagin.
Oh yeah, yes sir.
For me, he was genius, a genius Christian, you know. But unfortunately, he got involved with the wrong persons, and he ended with, you know, what was the church of Kenneth Hagin. But on the first time of his journey with God, he became a blessing for many people. And he was talking about the three P's about God. To understand God, we must be careful with the three P's. Is the proposals that we do, the things to God, the plans that we do, if it's His plans, and the practical things. If we derive on one of these things, we will not end our life with God. And I think, unfortunately, that Kenneth Hagin, on his tragic, on his way with God, he got involved with wrong persons and became influenced and or prisoner of that person. But he was totally right, because the true worship looks for God, not for himself, not for his problems, not for solving his problems, looks to serve, to be humble, to eternal gratitude to God. This is the true song of the Father that we've put on this program. It's the song of our Father in us, our song in His heart. It's His song in us that saves us. It's His purpose. It's His ways. It's His plans. It was His action that saved us. And if we look, if we worship God looking for all of this, we will not be deceived. But if we go to a church to be rich, to be known, to be used, because we need to be used, because I am more intelligent than the other, I went to that university, I'm more prepared, I, you're not looking for God. You're not praising God. You are promoting, as you said, brother, you are promoting yourself, your ego. And it's Satan that is controlling your faith. Satan is inside of you with the form of an angel of light, deceiving you and deceiving the others that you can deceive, that can make your follower. Am I wrong?
Brother, you are right on point, brother, because everything starts with our intention. That's why we have to submit our will, because the scripture said it is God who wills in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. But the enemy must get you to usurp God's will with your will. And that's the basic bottom line of Thelema, which is the whole Luciferian agenda is based upon that one word. Worship starts from that place. That whatever words that you put yourself into or around, those words, brother, create a desire inside of you. And if the desire that is created is to promote yourself or your flesh or to get something, then that's Thelema. That's Luciferian. But if the desire that's created inside of you is to give something up, to deny a desire and to put yourself in another position or a humble position to promote your brother ahead of yourself, instead of your ego or your arrogance or your pride, brother, that is worship. Worship is understanding that, okay, I have a choice to make. I'm going to promote and go get my and feed myself, take care of myself, help myself. Worship is selfless instead of selfish. The enemy wants you just to, you know, me, myself, and no more, you know, for you to take care of yourself. But true, authentic worship, in order for you to get into the presence of God, it requires a act of you denying the will, of saying that I'm going to promote my own agenda. That is the place that it starts. But the words that you hear create the desires that you have. The desires that you have empowers the work that you do. And the work that you do establishes the world that you create. And so the Father says, you know, our Father which art in heaven, he wants to establish the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth. That can only be done by us doing the work. And the work can only be done by us doing the worship. And the worship can only be done by us being in a relationship with the living word. And so true worship starts with a true understanding that leads to an expectation that results in a manifestation. But we all are surrounded and bombarded with words that are not the Father's word. That's why the whole Bible and all of the words and all of the movies and everything that we've done, the enemy is trying, and he's doing a pretty good job at trying to basically manipulate everything that establishes true, authentic worship. And so now, for me, I have to be very careful, because the higher you go, then the more creative. Because again, remember the word crafty. He deceived. He basically beguiled Eve because he was crafty. So he got many different schemes and devices. And so we got to be really sensitive and make sure that, are we responding because of something that is appeasing to our ego? Are we responding out of a position of saying, Father, I need your assistance in order for me to go forward? And once we get to that place, brother, that's when we start to understand that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can do nothing without him. And so every decision that we make requires us to get in contact with him before we make that decision. Otherwise, our own flesh, we're going to be led astray by the lust of our own flesh into all of these other areas. And the music that is out there today, brother, in a lot of churches, it doesn't connect with my spirit. It connects with my flesh. It makes my flesh want to move, clap my hand, jump around. And people say, well, brother, what's wrong with that? David danced before God and he shouted. But my Bible tells me that God is spirit, and those that worship him right. must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so right. we got to get in spirit. There's too much flesh that's being appeased. And that's the problem I have with a lot of worship. It appeals to my flesh more than it does to my spirit.
Yes, and beside the problem of our own flesh, because we want to establish a healthy relationship with God, we must be vigilant against our own ego. But the secondary problem of communion without wisdom is the flesh of the other people. Because when we are humble, Satan uses the pride of other people to control our relationship. We must be humble in the presence of God, but remembering that Jesus is so much mine as he is from the pastor or the deacon of the church. Jesus died for all, not for only a few. So we must learn to manage this energy. Must manage, learn to manage the our humble, our humility. humility before God, but without becoming slave, a dependent of other human beings. Because that secondary fount of this of bad things can take you from the presence of God too. If you start falling, if you become dependent only from the other members of church for your brother's advice, if you are not free to go to the presence of God with faith, to receive directly from Him, to ask Him the signs you need to take decisions, you become a dependent. And if that person one day that you start having blind faith becomes blind, and if she falls, you will fall with them. So we must understand this. We're not saying here that we must be humble and hear everybody. No, we must understand what is the voice of God. And the voice of God, if you don't find the voice of God inside you, maybe you will never find it on other people. Because on the way until your judgment, if you don't prepare your life to be independent, to create a relationship with God independent from other human beings, you will never live what God wants you to live. That's why Paul said when we were kids, when we are children, we behave like children. But when we grow, we start behaving like grown people. And this is, he was talking about spiritual things too. So, do not be pride that you don't need no one, but never believe the other extreme that is you need everybody. No, you need really Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you know how to understand what is the purpose, the plans, and the ways of God in your life, you are on the right path. Just be vigilant not to be deceived by false sanctity, by false holiness, like those that are appearing now from everywhere. So, Father, we have 1.5 minutes. One last word before we close the show. Before you give a last word, I want to remember that tomorrow we have with us Brother Marcus and Curtis from the Pine Ridge Reservation, Indian Reservation. They are spiritual warriors. They are in the front line against bad spirits. Great working movement of spirits, of Holy Spirit is being done there. So please join us if you can. Come to the gathering tomorrow. I will put the link later. Please, we have 30 seconds. Brother, I am counting with you maybe next weekend. If you want to, just in 20 seconds, give us your advice.
Amen, brother. As you just alluded to earlier, we must come, just like the scripture says, you know, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That's the bottom line, brother. We have to come with a pure heart, just like a little child, no hidden agenda, understanding that we know nothing about the true spiritual matters. We depend upon God.
Amen. See you next week, brothers and sisters. Obrigado por todos. Deus abençoe.